Save the Semantics, episode 99. It is January 17th, 2020. My name is Myro. This is the podcast where I talk about shit that nobody really cares about except for me. a couple weeks in to the new year, things have been going relatively well for the most part. Again, nothing too crazy, nothing too exciting or eventful. It's just been sort of a quiet month so far. Started school, as I've mentioned before. Had a pretty relaxed week for the most part. I have a three-day weekend coming up, although I'll be working for some of it, trying to keep busy and all that. It rained yesterday for the first time in a little bit of time. Right now I'm standing next to the river where I usually record. And my plan is just to kind of come by, just record, but the area I usually like to stand by is completely just washed over by the water. So I'm just kind of chilling right next to it right now, but it's all right. It's nice out. It's clear for the most part. Well, it's a little cloudy, but yeah, it's not raining. It's not drizzling or anything like that. Pretty nice weather. It's been chilly though. It's been kind of cold, especially this morning. I did radio this morning, which was nice. I felt I was like a little off this morning just because I felt like I didn't get my cues in correctly. Maybe it's just because I haven't done it in a while, maybe. I don't know. Some mornings I'm just like I'm not fully awake or whatever, you know. Maybe it's because I just like, I don't know. Maybe it's because it's been a while. I haven't really had I wasn't necessarily like the most prepared, I guess I should say. When I used to do it more consistently, I remember I did have those off days for sure, you know. Sometimes it was just like, sometimes the music choice selection by me was just poor, you know. I wasn't the only one there, you know. So, I mean, like, it went better than, like, my other shows in the past, like, where I just was, like, I was doing it on my own, and sometimes it just doesn't work the way you want it to. I think the music is really the biggest part of it, because when I host, I usually just focus on the music, try to play as much as I can, try to get in as many song requests as I can, just to be like a general crowd pleaser, I guess, you know. No, but I still try to play the music that I want to play, but sometimes like I just kind of get carried away with music that is just like, it's just a miss after miss, you know. I mean, most of the songs I play, I feel for the most part, are pretty solid, you know. Sometimes you get a few bad apples, but the ones that are kind of just sort of, you know, take away from the morning, or like songs that are just so incredibly just boring, you know. Like, even if there's sort of an emotional, you know, there's an emotional aspect to it, it's hard to deny that sometimes the song is just boring and it just doesn't really fit, you know, with what you're trying to do. It's a little too slow, you know, even for waking up, you know. So you need some vibrancy at times. And I've just learned that over the past, you know, just like picking the right songs, and like sometimes it's okay not to play it. Sometimes you don't have to always play all the song requests because they don't really fit with whatever you are, whatever you're going for, you know. So, I mean, I feel like I've learned how to mix up the playlist and that kind of thing. I think the one thing that I do enjoy doing, I haven't really done this as much, but I do like to sub in for other people sometimes. Sometimes I like to try other music. Usually I like bring music from other genres and that kind of thing. So I've subbed for like jazz, like a jazz show, and like a eclectic show where we play like a variety of other music and that kind of thing. So yeah, I like to do that just because, like, you know, you, on top of, like, if you request the host for a playlist, then they'll give you a playlist, and then on top of that you can add your own music to it, and then you have a solid set of music, I feel like. I think that's, I've enjoyed doing that for the past few years, for sure. I haven't really had as much time to do it, and also some of the, there's been some changes at the station that I'm not the biggest fan of, but I won't get into that. So yeah, I did some radio this morning. I think I also want to try to, like, contribute more to, like, conversations and that kind of thing, because we interview like people in the public who hold like a public position in office, and we talk about, you know, a lot of stuff that concerns basically everyone, like, in the state of California, that kind of thing. So today we talked about, like, the state budget and how that's, like, distributed, what are some of the main focuses of the state, of this year's state budget, and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of, you learn a lot of new things, and I've tried to, you know, put myself into those situations. You know, I think it's, I'm always, like, curious to know about those kinds of things, even if it's, like, not all that interesting to some people. I think they're still important to know about, like, just knowing where your taxpayer dollars go, where it's later distributed and how it's distributed, what sort of programs it goes to, that kind of thing. Like, it's actually in-depth information, that's incredibly, you know, beneficial to learn about, just because you can get an understanding of how, you know, how, like, the tax system works, how California kind of operates, and that sort of thing. So it's like, and also, you know, I've, like, learning about these things also makes me aware that, like, a lot of the, you know, people argue for reform and that sort of thing, but it's not easy, right? Because there's just so many layers of bureaucracy to go through. So it's never like a one step, let's pass the bill and then things will happen. It's like, no, there's just so many steps, so many loopholes that you have to kind of, or so many, like, you know, hoops that you have to kind of jump through in order to get that act to, you know, things to happen. And then sometimes that, you know, that, that proposed solution doesn't really pan out the way you want it to. So, it's just not easy. You know, like, I like, the California deals with, you know, a good amount of issues. I think, like, as we talked about it this morning, I think, like, homelessness is a pretty big issue for sure. And homelessness, what else? I guess, like, healthcare, of course. And, the, you know, fire safety, especially in California. So yeah, it's not easy. Like, it's definitely not easy. And I think if you can just kind of take, I'm not advising or anything like that, but it's just like, I'm glad that I have sort of been able to be in a position where I've, like, learned about these things, and I can sort of take this approach, you know, in other situations, just learning more about, like, all these other angles of a situation without just kind of committing to a single, you know, opinion, right? Like, there's always multiple, you know, angles to a story or to like a thing, you know? So it's never black and white. So yeah, some interesting things in the mix, I suppose. As for myself and other things that I've been up to, just classes, nothing too crazy. I've been enjoying Fire Emblem quite a bit. I've put in maybe like 20 plus hours into it. I'm not even really sure how far I am into the story. I think From what I can tell, I've hit like sort of like a sort of a significant point in the story where there's sort of like a sort of like a turning point in the story. But yeah, I've avoided spoilers. I can kind of, you know, I can kind of see where the story is going for the most part, but I'm still kind of interested in seeing where this story kind of leads up, you know. So I'll definitely keep my eyes peeled for that. I've been enjoying it so far. I think, I'd say out of all the characters, Claude is probably the most interesting, and I'm glad I picked the house that I was able to pick. As I've mentioned, like in the very beginning of the game, like you have the choice to pick between the three houses. It's like the Golden Deer, the Black Eagles, and then the Blue Lions, I think, is the other one. And I went with the deer just because Claude seemed interesting and all the other characters in that house seemed interesting. And I think I made a pretty solid choice. But I do intend on going through each of the houses. I am interested in seeing, like, I feel like it's probably like the same storyline. I just think like the character interactions are going to be different because you're interacting with different characters and that kind of thing. So that'll be interesting. I'm expecting to put in at least 100 plus hours for sure. And there's a lot of other content that, you know, there's extra content, there's like the DLC, there's extra missions and that kind of thing. So there's always like something to do for the most part. So I'm looking forward to that. As well, along with that, what else? Movies? Not really anything else, to be honest. I haven't really watched a whole lot of, like, Netflix or anything like that. I've sort of taken a break from anime, too. I think going through, like, two series was like, okay, this is good. I did start watching Mob Psycho. I'm still like on the third episode. I haven't watched it completely through yet. I've enjoyed it quite a bit so far. It's by the same creator as One Punch Man. The animation style is similar. The animation studio is different though. Season one of One Punch Man was animated by Madhouse, I think. And then the season one of Mob Psycho 100 is by, what are they called? Bones, yeah, I think it's called Bones Animation. And I think it's very, like, creative. The opening song and animation go very well, like, hand in hand together. I think that's... Yeah, it just takes a lot of creative liberties and that kind of thing. So it's a fun series for sure. And what else? I wanted to talk about some other stuff, but I'm just completely blanking right now. It's funny how that happens sometimes. Oh yeah, I've been like writing a little bit. Just shit, not really anything interesting. just garbage ideas. I was like, I always do this where I'm like, I'm gonna commit to a thing, and then I don't like give up on it. I just forget about it, which is essentially like giving up on it. I just don't follow through on my idea. And that idea was just to like write something down every single day, and write an idea down every single day. And it hasn't exactly gone the way that I've planned out, where it was just to kind of like jot down some ideas. I did have some story ideas down. As always, not necessarily great story ideas. So let's look through them. There's I wrote this one story that's not very good, but I was sort of like inspired by like, I don't know, just like awkward interactions in real life. So the setting is like this older guy
drinking coffee. And then a female college student is, like, next to him, and she's, like, studying or something. And then the old guy interrupts her by trying to, like, talk to her about something. And at first it seems like he's just trying to get her attention and just to talk to her and stuff like that. but it's, like, it's actually more than that. It's, like, he's like a ghost or some shit. I don't know. I wrote this all down. I'm not going to bother reading it. I'm not going to subjugate you guys to that. But I wrote two different ideas of what the story was going to be like. So the first one, I said that he's, like, a ghost. And he's trying to communicate, like, she's the only person, the student's the only person that can see him. And so when she's talking to him, she looks like a crazy person. And so the only way that, she can communicate with him is just, like, writing to him on a notebook instead of talking to him. The other idea that I had that didn't really go anywhere was, like, he's just asking her, like, what the time is because he doesn't have a watch or whatever. And then he collapses, and that's kind of it. And I don't know where exactly to go from there, so... the two variations of the story, is kind of inspired by Thomas Pynchon. I forgot what the book was called. I should know this, but there's a story he wrote where, he starts a story about some woman, and it just kind of goes about, and then he just completely scraps the idea and then restarts the story again. And he does this, like, multiple times throughout the book. I gotta read that book. I just completely forgot what that was called. I gotta look into it. So, yeah, I was just kind of inspired by that idea. Just sort of telling a story through, like, multiple lenses, I guess. Or just multiple variations of, like, a similar story. Just because, I don't know, I thought it was, like, a fun little practice. But yeah, I want to check that book out and see if I'll even read it, you know. Just the concept in itself is kind of interesting. What the fuck was I going to talk about? This is a terrible transition, but I was just kind of bored. Today was sort of my off day outside of radio, so I've had a little time to myself. So I went out and one of the department stores, one of the Kmarts near where I live is closing, due to, like, Amazon, e-commerce and all that, not surprising, you know. I think, and also just because, like, the upkeep is probably a bit too much, considering, you know, the fact that only the real time, that customers are going to come in on, like, a very, you know, heavy basis would be probably around the holidays, which was the case, but, you know, it's probably just not enough to maintain, throughout the year, you know. I feel like they should, like, I don't know, department stores are probably gonna go away, you know. We talked about this in our, economics class, you know, and just like any other, like, really business class, it's just, like, department stores are no longer relevant or, it's just no longer of any use just because there's too many options available online. So, yeah, that's just how business works, right? So I feel like what they should do is, like, what, like, the spirit of Halloween does. Maybe this isn't a viable option. This is why I'm not a business owner and probably won't be, but... like, they should do what the spirit of Halloween does, is where they just do, like, pop-up shops at the mall. Like, you know, set this all up for like, a month. Let people come in and buy all the shit. And then, you know, pack it up and then just, like, wait for another year. You know? Like, you could just do that with various things. But I guess that, you know, that's expensive in itself. It's a lot cheaper just to have, like, a warehouse with all of your clothes and other apparel in stock and then sell that online and then ship it. Like, I feel like this just more is simple. Like, there's not really, you don't have to go and buy you don't have to find a place to lease, and then you don't have to find employees and all that, like, just, and then, like, the fact that it's, like, only, like, it, you're only really looking for, like, part-time employees, because, like, I mean, because you're only going to have that place for a month, like, who's, you know, there's not that many people who need, who, want a job for just a month. They want consistent work, so I feel like, yeah, maybe it's not, like, the best business plan. I don't know how they've made it work, but they've made it work, right? Which is interesting. Yeah, I don't know what the solution really is. It's interesting, like, I think a lot of people in this area kind of look toward Kmart as, you know, a way to get their shopping. And for me, too, I bought socks there and stuff for cheap, you know, because it's something that I can afford. And now that's kind of going away. Like, I'm just interested to see, like, what other options there are. There are a lot of, like, older people in this area, so they might not be as in tune with, like, e-commerce and Amazon and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I it's just, like, there's other stores, of course, but they're just not as close by. You'll have to drive a little bit to get there. Walking around in the store is kind of interesting, maybe to me, in a mundane way. It's kind of interesting just seeing all the shit just closed up, because I used to go there quite a bit, just because I was bored, you know. When you're a teenager, you have nothing else to do, just kind of walk around department stores and shit. So it was kind of surreal just seeing all of, like, the shelves just completely barren and empty. There were no, they already sold out, like, the electronics. So the only thing that was remaining was, like, clothes and just trinkets and stuff, Christmas and, like, Halloween, Thanksgiving decorations, which is funny because nobody's going to buy that shit. It's just going to be left there to, you know, get dust covered all over it, which is kind of sad in a way, just because, I don't know, it's just sort of abandoned material, but that's just how it is, you know. People that, like, I saw, you know, you see, like, these, like, holiday-themed, like, mugs and thermoses, like, there's just, those, no, nobody's gonna buy that shit. Like, it's just, like, you're not gonna walk around with, you know, a Santa Claus, you know, decorated mug or, like, a coffee, you know, container, just because it's just, you know, it's just a novelty kind of thing. Like, it's not really, it might be practical, but it's not, it's tacky, that's for sure, you know. A lot of, like, the decor is, like, you know, cheap, kind of tacky stuff. That's what's kind of left behind in the midst of, like, the clearance and all that. So it was just kind of interesting just kind of walking around. I didn't really get anything. There wasn't really anything that I saw that was worth purchasing. And I, what else? What was I going to say? That was just kind of sort of a thing that I do. I don't know. I have sort of like a, there's like a guy on YouTube who does a thing where he walks around abandoned malls. I don't know. I can definitely see that being like a fascinating thing. Cause like, I don't know, over here, there's not really like a ton of like memorabilia and that kind of thing. It's just sort of like, you see these like sprawling, like urban centers that no longer function the way they're supposed to. They're just not, you know, it's just like, it's sort of like a historical spot, but not really, you know, it's not really that significant, but it's just kind of interesting to think about, looking back on it, how long it's been there, you know, like, the potential, you know, memories that might be associated with it, right? I think with malls, there's definitely that kind of appeal to it, just because, like, if, like, a mall was built back in, like, the 70s or 80s, and they haven't really updated the infrastructure the interior design is just completely, stagnant, and still has the same look as it did, like, 30 years ago, like, that's interesting. I don't know, it's just kind of funny, like, it might be ugly looking and shit, but, you know, there's just, like, there's still some historical kind of, relevance to it in, like, a sort of, you know, not exactly, like,
Revolutionary War or whatever the fuck kind of American significance, but, you know, it's still, like, still something there, in a sense. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but, like, there's just, you know, there's some intrigue associated with it, and it's kind of interesting to see, you know, these old things kind of slowly start to go away, and then you kind of, you see what the new era brings, whatever that may be. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode. You have been listening to Save the Semantics, signing off.